Creativity is the unique expression of your soul. That there's no one that will create the way that you create. Your creative energy is completely unique to you. And so if you are actually creatively expressing, you are allowing your soul to express. And there is nothing that is more healing than that. You want to talk about healing? Look at the people who feel like they are not healed. Most of them feel like they can't actually be honestly expressed. There's so much that they're holding inside that they feel like there's no outlet for. And so creativity, and that's where I encourage people to, and that's why I lead by example, by creating poetry, creating films, my YouTube channel and all the places, so that I can say, do you create your thing. And I'm just showing you what mine looks like.
Welcome to the Viral by Design podcast with Dave Rotherow, where we get inside the minds of today's leading viral marketers as they reveal the exact strategies they use to build brands, products, and campaigns that are magnetic to customers, spread like wildfire, and seize the attention of millions. This is Viral by Design.
So welcome to another episode of Viral by Design. I'm very excited today to be welcoming Adam Roa. Adam is a transformational artist and international speaker committed to showing the world what it looks like to choose love over fear in every moment. Combining years of experience as a personal development coach and over a decade of experience as a filmmaker and performer, he blends the two worlds in a way which encourages others to see life as art. He's also the founder of the Create Community, which is an online hub which does personal development completely differently by focusing on community first and foremost to make it, as much as anything else, more accessible and affordable to everybody. Adam's been featured in Huffington Post, Addicted to Success, Elephant Journal. He's also been listed on Goldcast as one of the top 33 game changers to watch. And his viral poem, You Are Who You've Been Looking For, has been viewed over 180 million times online. So Adam, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate it.
So I'd love for just to kind of take things back to kind of square one. You do so many different things, obviously from personal development to various forms of art. I'd love to just, you know, get a bit more detail on your background and how you came to be doing so many different things that you do today.
Yeah, that's a good question, right? It's a windy road and journey for sure. For me, I loved performing as a kid. I did like school plays and I was very expressive and I loved my imagination. And then I hit that age where I entered high school and I just went, well, I got to be realistic. And I know that you and I share this in common around even your background with music of like, okay, I'm not going to be the leading man. I'm not going to be the actor. I'm not going to be famous in that way. So let me focus on something more realistic. And I got into advertising and marketing and went to college and got a marketing degree. And it just wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't fulfilling to me. And so I decided to follow my heart and I moved out to Los Angeles to pursue an acting career. And then during, to really condense the story, essentially that acting career beat me down and ruined my self-esteem. And in a really like dark night of the soul period of time, I had a powerful awakening, you know, spiritual awakening, as cliche as that might sound, but that's really what happened. And I started to share my journey online back before Facebook Live, when you had to record videos and actually upload them to Facebook. And people started asking you, what are you doing? How come you seem like your life, you're so much happier? And that led kind of organically into a coaching business. And I started doing high-end coaching with CEOs and actors and actresses and surgeons and just people who had achieved a high level of success and knew that there was something more. They could feel it. They just weren't sure what it was. And then after that took off and I was doing really well in that industry, I was being invited to speak on stages and lead retreats, et cetera. I realized that in order to scale it, and that's my goal, honestly, is to really scale this industry of personal development and consciousness, to really get to the people who need it most. I felt like it needed to be through art. And so I started to look at how to take the messages that I was talking about on my podcast. I have a podcast called The Deep Dive, and in my one-on-one work, and turn it into art. And so I started writing poetry and I started making conscious films. And lo and behold, one of my poems just went insanely viral. And the rest is history.
That's awesome, man. And congrats on that viral poem. I mean, 180 million views, that's insane, right? So one thing, I don't know whether you've experienced this, but as you touched on, we both got musical backgrounds, and I don't know whether this is biased because I'm based in the UK and we're generally slightly more of a miserable lot this side of the pond. But I feel like there's a kind of stubbornness from the kind of artistry community in terms of music and creativity to get into personal growth and personal development, which is such a crying shame, right? Have you experienced that similarly in your world? And have you got any kind of idea as to why that might be?
I think that a lot of people they default to cynicism. Mm. And so there's a lot of people, and I was one of those people, just very skeptical. And so if someone tells me, oh, this will work, this will work, I'd be like, yeah, will it? And I think that artists especially are used to feeling very, very deeply. And that to feel that and to always also know that you're a little bit different. You know, artists are a little bit different. They're just a little bit different than everybody else. And so there's, I think, a natural tendency to kind of reject before accepting. It's like we question everything. We're like, oh, are you sure? And a lot of artists thrive on being different. And so I think that's a huge, huge part of it. And I think the other part of it too is that, like, when it comes to doing personal development work, it's not comfortable. It's not an easy road to walk. And one of the principles, foundational principles of kind of the personal development and self-awareness journey is radical responsibility. Like, you take ownership for your life. You say, great, I created this life. If I want to change it, I'm going to have to do something different and change how I'm showing up. And a lot of people would rather stay in the world in which they can blame everything outside of themselves and say, it's my parents' fault, or it's my girlfriend's fault, or it's the world that's against me, or no one ever saw my talent, or whatever, as opposed to taking full ownership of, no, I am in charge of what my life looks like. And that's a confronting topic initially.
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely ironic, right? It's when you do actually take ownership of it, you take responsibility for it. That is in itself the actual liberation event, right? That's what actually sets you free. So what was that for you? Like, how that process when you know, suddenly your friends and family saw you post online and seeing you so much happier, what would you say there was, like, a kind of light bulb moment or like a corner that you turned? What triggered that?
Well, the honest answer is it came familiar, but that winding up in a plant medicine ceremony with something called ayahuasca and having no idea really what I was getting myself into, transformed my life in basically one weekend and has continued to transform my life ever since. And I'm a big advocate for speaking openly about it because I want people to know the truth that it can be a massive tool for self-awareness and growth. And it came on the tail end of one of the most difficult years of my life up until that point, where everything seemed like it was falling apart. Every piece of my identity that I had associated or given value to was crumbling. My financial situation was at an absolute rock bottom. My physical health hit a low because I got into a car accident and I needed hip surgery. I was having migraines. My, like, little thing, like, my iPhone got stolen. Like, all of these things were happening, and I just hit a breaking point. And that breaking point was when I'd just gotten into that car accident, and a week later I was working. At the time I was working as a personal trainer in a gym, and I had to work even though I had migraines and I was limping because I was, like I said, I was at a financial rock bottom from a shady business deal and just like all of this stuff. And I walked outside and my rental car had been hit and run on the side of the road, and it was just, the front bumper was just hanging off. And I just had a, like, mental break, and I had that moment where nothing made sense and I didn't know what to do. And in that moment, you know, there's this popular saying, which is the cracks are where the light gets in. And for me, in that moment was the first time that I actually humbled myself enough to say, maybe I don't have this life thing figured out. Because up until that point, I had done really well. I'd done well in school, scholarship to college, varsity sports, all of these things. I just assumed I was going to be successful and I had it all figured out. And after being beaten down and beaten down and beaten down, I finally said, I may not know what I'm doing here. And that humility had me reach out for help to a friend. And that act of reaching out for help ultimately led me into the ayahuasca circle, which completely transformed my life.
That's awesome, man. And you know, I think there's a lot of, especially in the US, there's a lot of movement towards these things being properly understood now, right? And legalized, even things like MDMA that are being used as, which, you know, for common kind of common narrative would be that's just a party drug which people take to get high and make trouble for themselves. But it's now being used in therapies to really kind of help people resolve deep trauma, right? Where do you see
it's that where it started too?
Yeah,
that's actually how it started before it was made illegal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Where do you see that going then? Like in terms of, do you think that stuff like ayahuasca is going to be available? Where are you in the States as well, Anthony?
Right now, currently, I'm in North Carolina, but I've been a full time nomad for like 3 years, so yeah. I'll be leaving here in 2 weeks and back on the road again, and so. As far as our thing, where do I see things headed? I mean, if you look at last year and COVID and all the different things, you can't really predict anything. But I would, if I had to bet on something, I would say that we're moving in the direction of more and more of it becoming legalized. Not even because it's not, yes, there's a societal aspect of people becoming more just open-minded, I think, as they gain more access to the internet and be exposed to other ideas and different things, but also because there's just more and more science around it. You know, there's no denying the efficacy of things like psilocybin treatment or MDMA treatment on things like PTSD and depression. There's more and more evidence of what can happen doing those treatments. And that's what most people are going to be waiting for, is like the actual science. And the only reason that science doesn't exist, just so people know, it's not because those things aren't real. It's not because they're not beneficial. It's because they've been made illegal. And there's been so much propaganda against these things that, like, for example, in the United States, cannabis, marijuana, is a Schedule I drug, which means it's just as illegal. It's in the same category as like cocaine. And yet, in order for something to be a Schedule I drug, it has to have no medical benefit at all. And yet here we are. And I think in the UK, you guys probably are as aware of this as anywhere. Like, there's tons of medical benefit to cannabis and CBD and treating anxiety and helping with sleep or helping with seizures and things like, so like there's clearly medical benefit. And yet for whatever reason, there is this legal system that is preventing that progress and making it go very slow, which, because when something's Schedule I like that, people can't do the studies on them. People can't get the science, but that's what people are waiting for in order to accept it. So it's this big convoluted situation. And that's why, by the way, I speak openly about it, is because I think the more role models that we have and more people that have social followings that speak openly about the benefits, the faster this thing all changes.
Absolutely, man. It needs to be a shift in public narrative, right? Because you're absolutely right. It's undeniable the medical benefits. And obviously CBD is starting to be a big thing over here in the UK. We don't quite have the same legalization as you do over in certain parts of the US. And I think a big part of it as well is that the people who are able to shift those rules, to amend those laws, like, they don't want to be the ones to do it, right? Because it will affect their credibility. And it's, you know, one of those kind of taboo subjects, right?
Yeah. And you kind of have to wait for the old guard to die. Like, that seems like it's been that way, right? Progress will happen. It happens in these kind of large chunks as one generation who's in power dies off. And then the next generation comes in. And like, if you notice the trend, like the trend is continually more progressive, like more accepting of different things. You look at things like gay marriage, you look at psychedelics, you look at you look at how there's no more real segregation happening or open racism. There's still a lot of racism out there. So, but like, my point is, as the old guard dies, then new laws pass. And then the old guard dies and the new laws pass. So there is this, I don't know, it's 40, 50 year kind of cycle of evolution that's happening, but it seems to be something that is a pattern that we can recognize.
Absolutely. I'd love to dig more into how, because what you do is quite a unique blend of auth and, you know, everything that we're talking about here, but also with personal development. How do you blend those two things together? How does that actually look, just to give our listeners a bit more of an idea of what you do?
Yeah, so I believe that what makes a really great artist is someone who is willing to go into the depths of their consciousness in places that other people are too scared to go. They're willing to feel the things and express those feelings when other people try and avoid them. They're willing to ask the questions about why I am the way I am and why the world is the way it is and why you are the way you are when other people just kind of accept it and they don't want to face the discomfort of asking those questions. And so I believe that the best artists are doing that work. And I believe that work is the same thing that's being done in personal development. So I actually see them as being very, very similar. And so for me, the more that I can know myself and the more that I can understand the human condition and the more that I can explore why the world is the way that it is, the more that I can bring that, what I'm learning, and put it into art. And the reason why art is so important is because art is the one last remaining permission slip we have to get people to feel. Like, we live in a society where people are trying to numb themselves down to the discomfort through alcohol, sex, drugs, and then only pump in kind of artificial dopamine hits from social media and various things. And so, in order to heal, we need to feel, right? It's a common axiom in personal development. That anytime you've had a major breakthrough in your life, like a truly transformative experience, there's an emotion that has been released during that experience. That's how those things program in the mind. It's why so many of your beliefs formulate when you're a young child, is because you're such an emotional being, and that adds such intensity to what you're believing and learning. And so in a world that's being built almost to not face off with the discomfort and not feel all those feelings, art is the place where people go to feel. People go to movies because of how it makes them feel. They listen to music because of how it makes them feel. They read books because of how the books make them feel. Like, this is what we are biologically predisposed to as humans, is to receive art at a deep emotional level. And that means that change is able to happen through art in a way that it can't anywhere else. And the thing is, it goes in any direction. Whatever consciousness we're putting into the art, that's what people are receiving, and that's the change that we're making. And so when we have a bunch of BS music and movies that are telling people they're not enough and they need to get more money and they need to sleep with more women and they need to, you know, it's all about what you own and all of that, those sorts of ideas, or you need to be afraid of your neighbors because they all want to cause you harm. Like, that's what is being put in and being instilled in people through art, which is so powerful. And so my goal is to help people understand that if you take some of these other ideas and you take some of these deeper levels of consciousness and love and you put them into art, the art can still be dope. It can still be fun. People have this idea, like, if it's going to be conscious art, it's going to be cheesy meditation music with people oming the whole time or whatever. But like, it can still be dope. It can still be fun. It can still be entertaining, and it can still be expansive.
100%, man. I've resonated so heavily with what you're saying. You know, I've felt for a long time that the next logical progression for humanity is more kind of a spiritual thing, right? It kind of feels like, obviously, technology is on this exponential increase. But in terms of things going in ebbs and flows and back and forth, it kind of feels like it's time for more of a spiritual thing, more of a kind of self-awareness and self-consciousness thing, and it also feels like that's happening, right? Even with things like meditation and yoga, which, you know, even as recently as 10, 15, 20 years ago, just were considered this weird, you know, out of the ordinary thing, which are now pretty much entirely mainstream. down that path, how do you see that happening? You know, this kind of what feels like an absolutely essential waking up of people to how addictive their current lifestyle is and how they're kind of draining themselves of substance in favor of dopamine. Do you think that's more of a something where everything has to reach rock bottom and there needs to be some kind of huge like a mess and falling apart of things to be rebuilt? Or do you see it as more of a progressive thing over time?
Well, I think that it doesn't have to hit rock bottom. It doesn't have to. However, if we look at the evidence in my own life, if we look at the evidence in most people's individual lives, most people don't choose to change until it gets so uncomfortable to stay the same that they have to, right? Like they wait until things are so awful that they go, I'm now ready to face the unknown and I'm ready to change things up. When things are just kind of okay or kind of unpleasant, people kind of stick to what they know. They stick to the known discomfort than the opportunity of unknown comfort that might be available to them. So while it's not a necessity, I will say that most evidence points to human behavior requiring that. And so the real question for me is, it's not like we're living in a utopia now. Like we're in a global pandemic where people are feeling incredibly isolated. They're, you know, suicide rates are vastly up. Mental health and mental illness issues are on the rise. People are losing their jobs. There are going to be some very long-lasting ramifications from the lockdowns that far exceed what I think anyone's really paying attention to right now. There is depression, loneliness. There's so many things that are happening right now. Meanwhile, we've, as a society, seem to have lost any trust in government. It seems like people don't actually even trust like the medical system necessarily or the education system. People are giving a middle finger to traditional academia and college. And like all the systems that people have been relying on up until this point and leaning into all seem to be crumbling to some degree. And so the real question is, what does rock bottom look like? I mean, you know what I mean? Like in the United States, we just had people storm the Capitol building. We've had riots. We've had racist cops killing people on camera. We've had our president openly insulting like other world leaders and inciting violence. Like there's been so much happening that my real question is what does rock bottom actually look like? Like, when do people finally say this cannot continue? And that's more where I'm at, because I feel like we're all in the discomfort right now. Yeah. Like collectively, there's a global discomfort that we are sharing. And so how uncomfortable does it have to get before we collectively decide that we're going to shift things?
It's a fair point, man. Very fair point. You know, talking on that as well, in terms of like the loneliness, the anxiety, all of those negative things that people are going through right now. You know, obviously that's something which you help people with and you focus on. And think about, you know, the plant medicine and the realizations that you had there. They're obviously the facilitator of who you become today. But could you talk through like what realizations that kind of bore for you, and like, and how it is you deal with those things and help people deal with those things?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big one, right? That's, because everyone's going through different things. Your journey, if you're listening to this, your journey is uniquely yours. Success leaves clues. So, you know, as someone who has, you know, was sexually abused when I was a child, as someone who, has dealt with depression throughout my life, as someone who was hit with belts and wooden paddles and stuff by his dad growing up, like I've had a lot of those things, and I can speak to what has helped me move through a lot of my wounding and trauma and become the person that I am today. But it'll always come down to you doing the work. And I mean, you, whoever you are listening to this. And so what I am most passionate about at this stage is looking at What are the things that, if implemented into your life as principles, as foundational pillars to your life, will lead you on the road to where you want to go, to your healing, to your abundance, and all of those things? And I've kind of narrowed it down to three things. And it's funny because these three things are what everything I do come back to, right? And they're three C's. The first one is community. And we were talking about this before because I formed the Create Community during COVID. It's thecreatecommunity.com for people who want to check it out. But basically, what I realized is, think of all the people who, when the pandemic, when the lockdown happened, they were now forced to be around like their families or their roommates or their boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife and these people, and realized, wow, these people aren't actually who I want to be spending my time with. The number of people I talk to who realize I don't have real friends. I don't have people that I can call up and talk to about what I'm going through. I don't have that. And what that feels like. And then for someone like myself, who feels like I have so much powerful community, when you're around, and I imagine it's why you've even started this podcast, just being around people who inspire you and motivate you and just having conversations with them will change your life. It'll change your life. It's why I started my podcast. It's I imagine what something you've seen from your own podcast is like, just being around people who see your potential and motivate and inspire you and encourage you will change your life. And so community is one of the most important things. It's why I started my online community. And then the second C is creativity. Creativity is the unique expression of your soul. That there's no one that will create the way that you create. Your creative energy is completely unique to you. And so if you are actually creatively expressing, you are allowing your soul to express. And there is nothing that is more healing than that. You want to talk about healing? Look at the people who feel like they are not healed. Most of them feel like they can't actually be honestly expressed. There's so much that they're holding inside that they feel like there's no outlet for. And so creativity, and that's where I encourage people to, and that's why I lead by example by creating poetry, creating films, my YouTube channel, and all the places so that I can say, do you, create your thing. And I'm just showing you what mine looks like. And then the third C is consciousness. And consciousness is synonymous with awareness, meaning what are you exposing yourself to that is expanding what you are aware of? If you're listening to this podcast, I acknowledge you because you're already doing it. This podcast is one of those things. It is expanding your awareness. And what else is out there? You have podcasts, you have books, you have life coaches that you can hire or business coaches you can hire. You have new places like Clubhouse, and you have all of these places that you can go to expand your awareness of what's out there and what's possible. And that does not mean just talking to people who believe exactly what you believe. That means exposing yourself to ideas that are triggering and challenging. And you go, no freaking way would I believe that. I don't agree with that. But listening to the arguments, listening to what people have to say about flat earth or vaccines or pro-Trump or anti-Trump, like listen to what people have to say, because you don't have to believe what they believe, but hearing why they believe what they believe is going to expand your awareness. And the more that you expand your awareness, the more opportunities you have to create the life that you want, because your brain has more data in it. So those three C's, community, creativity, and consciousness are foundational pillars to my life, everything I do. And they're the three things that I believe if you can put them into your life on a daily basis, you will see your life change and you can work through anything.
100%, man. Like, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, what you were touching on there about like listening to other people's conversations, I just want to go spend a little bit of time on that, because I think that's so important right now, especially when I think one of the things that the last 12 months has done is just polarize people even more, especially your side of the pond, especially in the States, where it's huge right now. But I think, you know, it kind of trickles down like throughout everywhere, especially the UK as well. And I think a lot of like interpretations in the UK, a lot of people that I speak to are interpretations of the UK as if it were the States, interestingly enough, but that's a story for another time. But what you were saying there about just having conversations with people and listening to things that are difficult to hear and, you know, observing other people's points of view, even if they immediately trigger a knee-jerk reaction, is in and of itself the answer to that polarization. And it's, I think it's something that the world needs right now for fear of sounding grandiose. I think it's so important, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue that people have right now is they feel like if someone disagrees with them, that makes like they're getting triggered as if there's something wrong with them. Yeah. And so now people need to defend their ideas as if their ideas are them. Your ideas aren't you. If you've ever once in your life had an idea of what was true, and then you learned something and you realized I was completely wrong, then you know that possibility exists. And that's happened to me so many times. And so the possibility exists that every single thing I'm telling you right now, it might be completely wrong, right? Is that what I believe? No, because I've seen it work in my life. I've seen it work for all of my clients. I've seen it work for my community. As I've taught this stuff, I've seen it change people's lives, and that's why I continue to do it. However, I'm open to someone coming on here and saying, you're spouting out a bunch of hippie BS, none of that works, and you're doing a real disservice to people. And I'll say, okay, why do you think that? Why do you believe what you believe? And here's the craziest part about this. Anyone who's coming from hate, like anyone who's coming from a space of wanting to make people wrong or make them feel like there's something wrong with them, anyone who's coming with that sort of energy, if you really just ask them why they believe what they believe, why do you believe that about me? Why do you want this? Why? When you really ask them those things, their arguments fall apart very quickly, very, very quickly, because they're not actually built on what I believe to be the fabric of reality itself, which is expansion, which is love. Love, as cliche as it sounds, I believe is the fabric of everything. And when we are coming from that place, you can have two people who believe two completely different things, and they do not ever have to agree. But if they're both coming from a place of open-mindedness and acceptance and compassion and love, they won't have to fight each other. They won't have to kill each other. They won't have to let the other one starve in order for one to eat. They will not have to be unhappy. I don't actually care. Right now, one of the biggest topics out there right now is vaccines. Right? Like, do you take the vaccine? Do you not take the vaccine? This is a huge, huge topic, and it's very polarizing to people. And the thing is, I literally don't care. I don't care if you want to take the vaccine or you don't want to take the vaccine. Just don't try and force me to do something that from a place of, you know, what's right. Like, you can tell me why you do want to take it or why you don't want to take it. And I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to respect your opinion. And the only thing that's crazy to me is that we can't seem to find compassion for people who believe differently than us. That's the part that I don't understand. What can't you like Coke and I like Pepsi and we can still be friends? Can't you get a vaccine and me not want it and we be friends? Can you vote for Trump and I not vote for Trump and we be friends? Like, if we can demonstrate that we don't have to agree in order for us to get along, that is the foundation for us to create the world that works for everyone. Because here's the real truth of it. We will never agree about everything. That is just not going to happen. So if we continue to operate in a way where we can only get along if we agree, we are never going to get along.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, I couldn't agree more. Like, it's fundamental to be able to listen to other people's opinions and help them form your own. I think one of the reasons you mentioned that people who come from a place of hate or negativity, the reason that their arguments fall apart so fast, I honestly believe that a lot of the time that's because they're not actually their own opinions. They just adopted them from elsewhere because they kind of use them as a shield against themselves, you know, to prevent themselves from having to confront their own opinion on something or fear what it might be.
That's a great point. And this will be triggering to a bunch of people listening probably, but like that's the primary reason why so many people fight wars over religion. Because people haven't done the thinking about, is this religion what I actually believe? Is this what, do I agree with all of this? No, they were just raised in a particular religion. Most people who are the religion they are is because they were raised in it, both by their direct parents, but also by the communities that they're in. That's why most people who live in certain parts of the world are a certain type of religion. And it's just a tribal thing. And religion is one of the main places, and I was raised Catholic, and one of the main places where you are told to believe what you're told and not to question things. And so like that is why people get so triggered around the topic of religion, exactly what you just said. It's because they haven't done the thinking about if this is what they believe to develop a foundation for why they believe it. And if they don't defend the belief, eventually they'll get confronted with the fact that they're not standing on anything solid, actually. And I'm not saying that religion is not solid. I'm saying that their reasons for believing what they believe aren't solid. And so, what I do for myself and what I would encourage everyone listening to this to do is really look at what your beliefs are. What is it that you believe to be factually true about the world? Is there a God? Is there a particular religion? Is there, do you believe in gay marriage or not gay marriage? Do you believe it's okay to drink alcohol or smoke cannabis or psychedelics or like every bit of your life, right? And ask yourself, why do you believe that? Why do you believe that psychedelics are bad for you? Why do you believe that no one should be allowed to do MDMA or mushrooms? Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that people should be allowed to own guns in the United States? Like, why do you believe that? And if you take the time to actually do that, you will, don't look at it as, well, I might not believe what I believe anymore, and that's triggering. Sure, that might happen, but also look at it as an opportunity for you to actually become stronger in your beliefs. And the more strongly you hold your beliefs from a place of deep understanding of why, that's what I think is inspiring to other people. You know, the most inspiring people on the planet are people who have strong beliefs and a strong why behind their beliefs. Yeah. You don't have to agree with them, but there's a reason why they've inspired so many people. And I think that's their conviction. And the only way to really arrive there is by questioning what you believe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, coming from something that you've decided, decision that you've made, it kind of reminds me of, I was watching Inception the other day, you know, that film, the Chris Nolan film Inception.
Well, it's so good.
It's great, right? The whole concept of like for somebody really to internalize an idea or a thought, they need to have come to it of their own mm-hmm. accord. You know, it needs to have been formed in their own mind. It reminds me of that. But yes, it's such a more wholesome and fulfilling way to live your life. I know what you're doing with the Create community is incredibly powerful. And even from what you just said today and what we discussed already, what can people expect if they join the Create community and how can people actually get involved?
Yeah, well, thank you. It is something that I truly believe, and I'm seeing, by the way, people's lives change. I'm seeing people start new businesses, make new friendships. Nonprofits have started. Like, it's been amazing to see what's possible in this community. The website is thecreatecommunity.com. Basically, what it is we have three classes a week on a wide array of topics. So we bring in some of the best facilitators who charge tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands for their services, are seven-figure entrepreneurs and coaches who lead retreats all over the world, that speak on stages all over the world. And what I've seen as an issue is to get access to those people. So I've been paid, full disclosure, I've been paid $1 million to coach someone for a year. So like my prices have, my working with me had got to a point where it was just so expensive to work with me. And I went, this is not making what I know accessible to people. I'm only working with people who can pay me six figures or more. But what about all the people who are struggling to make ends meet? What about the people who are just having this spiritual awakening and they're exactly where I was when I had it back in 2013 through ayahuasca? And all of a sudden I'm just doing Google searches. I'm on YouTube looking up like, how do I manifest things? What is the law of attraction? Like, is there a God? Like I'm just YouTubing it. And I spent so much time consuming content. And it wasn't until I hired my first life coach. And at the time that I hired him, I paid $5,000. I put it all on a credit card. I had no idea how I was going to pay it back, but I just trusted. And there are so, with COVID and everything, like $5,000 is still outside the range for a lot of people who are lost right now and are like, how do I get the best people to help me and support me? And that's why I created this community. And so we bring in some of the best in the business to teach a class. And we do three classes a week, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And we teach on relationships, sexuality, business, a manifestation, energetics, spirituality, astrology. We have all of these different things because I want people to go into this community and be able to take the classes that they want to take. And for less than $200 a month, you have an opportunity to just attend three or four classes a month and still get your money's worth and focus. I'm focusing on business and I'm focusing on my love life right now. Okay, awesome. Take those classes. And you just go and you take them. And every class has laser coaching, has Q&A. People get one-on-one attention in every single class because these are the things that are important. And most importantly to this, we have a community around it, where people are talking with each other. We have our Facebook group where people interact. We have that people are forming their own WhatsApp groups and Instagram chats and just communicating and supporting each other along the way. And so for anyone listening to this, if you have been looking for a place where you can up level and do it with people who are on the same journey with you and get some of the best coaches on the planet to support you for an affordable rate, that's what we're all about. And we are about doing it in a way that's fun. And even the name Create, we want you. We want your unique expression. This is for people who know that they're here for a big mission and are ready to step into that. And if you are interested, you can use the code CREATE and you'll get a discount on your first month. That's my personal code, just as an offer to anyone who wants to give it a shot, because I truly believe that if you say yes to yourself and enter into this, you're going to see your life change, plain and simple.
That's awesome, man. I couldn't stress more as well, just to follow that up, the power of community. And, you know, you said about like podcasts like this, talking to incredible people and like sharing ideas and just the stimulation that that brings. And in terms of the accountability of having other people around you, that kind of inspiration, I think a lot of the time, you know, most people in our general vicinities, when we start out on these journeys, aren't as interested in this kind of stuff. And it's easy to get dragged back into sort of general everyday life and it kind of falls by the wayside. The power I've found of community and having similar minded people around me is huge. So I can see how tremendously valuable that would be. So we'll make sure that the links for people to get involved are added in and around the podcast on the website. So, and yeah, strongly recommend anyone listening to check it out. So Adam, thank you so much for joining us, man. It's been absolutely fantastic to pick your brains. I think everything you're doing is cool as hell. And yeah, hopefully we'll be able to speak to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I appreciate you having me on. And thank you everyone who took the time to listen to this. You know, there's a lot of podcasts. There's a lot of things that you could be doing. So I really do appreciate the journey that you're on and the willingness to entertain crazy ideas from a hippie like me.
That's awesome, man. Thanks, Adam. Speak soon.
This has been the Viral by Design podcast with Dave Rothero. For more viral marketing secrets and to get detailed cliff notes on all episodes, visit viralbydesign.net.